And good morning to each of you again. Have you had a good Christmas? How many of you traveled the last few days? Anyone know where I might could find some blue shoes? Christmas came to my house. It's good to be with you today. Father God, we do ask, I agree with Mickey, may the words of our mouth and the meditations of our heart be pleasing to you here this morning in Jesus' name. Today I want to talk to you about staying in step with God. We're just a few days away from stepping into the new year, and so this is on my heart. We're going to learn four lessons today from some Old Testament passages and experience with God's people under the Old Covenant. We're going to buttress that with a couple of verses out of our New Covenant. And if we'll keep these lessons in mind, it will help us have a more godly 2026. We'll see God do more in our lives ahead if we'll keep these things in line and in mind. So I invite you on this journey this morning. We're going to be looking in a little bit in Exodus chapter 13. But first, I want to share a story. A number of years ago, just after I had a life-altering encounter with God's presence. At that time, I had already been pastoring for 14 years. I would hear God's voice occasionally and certainly knew when He would be speaking to me personally through His Word. But I had an encounter of the manifest presence of God. It was as if I had grabbed hold of electrical wires. I could sense it with every fiber of my being. My knower was lit up beyond what I'd ever experienced before. It was just life-altering. It kind of shifted things for me in my life and ministry. And the only way I know how to explain it is at that juncture, I began to hear the voice of the Lord more frequently and more clearly. As a matter of fact, I began to learn that God would actually speak to you in ways that had kind of been off the table for me before that. That there were gifts of the Holy Spirit that were very powerful. And this was a very exciting time in my life. It brought about a lot of change in our lives as a family. And God began to teach me about hearing His voice. I remember on one occasion during this time, it's like a kid in a candy shop, you know. But on this particular day, I had ministered to a bunch of people. I'd had a lot of appointments. A lot was going on. It was about 5 o'clock in the afternoon. And I was really tired. I was so looking forward to getting home, taking off my shoes, having a meal with my family, and just chilling a little bit. I'd left the church. I was on the way home, and I drove by a laundromat. And when I looked over to the laundromat, that thing happened. And what I mean by that, I felt the prompting, the urging of the Holy Spirit within me. So that thing became like the burning bush to Moses. I knew, okay, God's got something going on there. And this is all being processed in just a few seconds. Well, simultaneously with that, looking, feeling the prompting, I started getting this real pulsating pain in my, I think it was my right ankle, if I remember correctly, in my right ankle area. I know it was the ankle, but I think it was the right ankle. Just a pulsating pain. By this time, I had learned to recognize this was one of the ways the Lord would often speak to me. I would feel a pain that someone else was having. And so I knew what God was saying. I got to go in that laundromat and pray for somebody in there that's having a problem in their right ankle. That may sound a little strange. That's just where I was. That's just how she was rolling. Okay? But here's the problem. On that day, I was so tired. And when that started happening, it's like, no, I don't do that. I'm tired. I want to go home. I want to take my shoes off. I want to have a meal with my family. And I was warring with this. And that prompting wouldn't go away. And I would think about that laundromat. And then that pain would hit my foot. I just kept going. I thought, no, you know what? I've ministered to a lot of people already today. And I'm tired. And I really wasn't in the right frame of mind for that. And I went on down the road. But about a half mile later, I thought, okay, Lord, I'll do it. So I spun around, drove back to the laundromat, pulled up to the laundromat, got out of my car, walked into the doorway. I said, okay, Somebody in here is having trouble with your right ankle, and I'm supposed to pray for you. Well, people were doing like, what on world? Who's this madman at the door? You know, and that was just a very awkward moment, and I realized that might have been a little strong. And everybody started turning to the corner and pointing, and there was a, if my memory serves me right, it was a woman, but she had a cast on her right ankle. And I said, ma'am, is that you? And she's kind of like, I said, can I pray for you? She couldn't really talk. And I realized, I haven't been handling this right. And I said, well, Lord, may the Lord touch you. May that pain leave your body. May you be healed in Jesus' name. I tried to fix it a little bit. Got in my car and went home. But the Lord whipped me good about that. Now, I had obeyed him. I did what he told me to do. But I didn't carry my heart with me into the room. I was checking my box. I did want to be obedient. And I was. But it wasn't the way the Lord would have done it. I didn't have the heart I should have had. And I realized, you know what? In obeying the Holy Spirit, I ended up kind of quenching him by the way I processed and approached it. And I probably hindered that woman from receiving what the Lord had for her. I don't know. I don't know what happened with her. And I learned a hard lesson that day. And I really was chastened by it. And it broke my heart. I prayed for that lady. You know, I got my heart right. She wasn't there, but I prayed for her because it really bothered me after that. Well, as new covenant believers, Jesus said, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. That's part of your birthright. In the Old Testament, in the book of Exodus, and then reiterated for us in the book of Numbers, we have the story of when God led Israel out of Egypt. They had been slaves for generations, and they are being led out of Egypt, carried toward the land of God that God had promised to them. We call it the promised land. And we're going to pick up there because the way God chose to direct them was very visible. It manifested visibly. It was very powerfully. It involved a cloud in the daytime, and a pillar of fire in the nighttime. Let's pick up on the story, and then in these lessons that I'm going to share with you, we'll come back and refer to some of these verses. Exodus 13, beginning with verse 17, it says, then it came to pass when Pharaoh had let the people go that God did not lead them by the way of the land of the Philistines, although that was near. For God said, lest perhaps the people change their minds when they see war and return to Egypt. So God led the people around by way of the wilderness of the Red Sea, and the children of Israel went up in orderly ranks out of the land of Egypt. Notice that, in orderly ranks. It wasn't a mass exodus or chaos. It's orderly ranks. They marched out of there. Verse 19. And Moses took the bones of Joseph with him, for he had placed the children of Israel under solemn, that is Joseph, had placed the children of Israel under solemn oath, saying, God will surely visit you, and you shall carry up my bones from here with you. So they took their journey from Succoth and camped in Etham at the edge of the wilderness. And the Lord went before them by day in a pillar of cloud to lead the way, and by night in a pillar of fire to give them light, so as to go by day and night. In other words, they could travel it in the daytime, and they could travel at night simply by following the cloud. We read on in verse 22, he did not take away the pillar of cloud by day, are the pillar of fire by night from before the people. This is how God would choose to lead them from Egypt to the promised land. And I tell you one thing, it wasn't a 40-year trip had they simply obeyed God. It turned into a 40-year journey, and most of them didn't make it. But the way God chose was a manifest, visible way, cloud by day, and a pillar of fire by night. Two, and then in Numbers we're told here, whenever the cloud was taken up from above the tabernacle, after that the children of Israel would journey. And in the place where the cloud settled or stopped, there the children of Israel would pitch their tents. Pretty clear to understand. Now, in the New Testament, there are a couple of passages that are important relating to this. Ephesians 5:25 says, if you live in the what? In the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. Our movement, our mobility in our journey with the Lord is to be led by the Spirit. Your very identity assures you of your ability to be led by the Spirit. Notice the next verse in Romans 8:14. For as many as are led by the Holy Spirit of God, these are sons of God. The Old Testament, in the occasion of coming out of Egypt, going into the land of promise, which is also paralleled in the New Testament, of who you were before Christ, having met Christ, you now are living in Christ. In the Old Testament, there was a cloud at day, a pillar of fire at night. In the New Testament, the very Spirit of God now indwells you and leads you, moves you, and directs you. Lets you know when to start, lets you know when to stop. He lets you know what's yes, lets you know what's no, and lets you know what's wait. So this is the beautiful mirroring of Old Testament truth in New Testament reality for us. Four lessons from these passages this morning as we're stepping over the threshold into a new year, at least in the Gregorian calendar, the Hebrew calendar. That happened back in September. But here in the States, everybody's kind of wired to inventory their life at the beginning of the new year and so forth. These lessons work regardless of what calendar you want to use. Now, first lesson is this. Remember that God's presence is the plan. That's what God's up to. He's wanting a relationship with people where they will follow His leadership. In the Old Testament, He put a cloud up there in the daytime. They could see it. And there was, I believe the same cloud was there at night, but it would light up with fire. It would illuminate. And it's important for us to understand. Now, the story I shared to begin this message was I was following the leadership of the Holy Spirit, but the way I actually ended up doing it was more like I'm going to check this box so I can do what I really want to do. And if we are not careful as New Testament believers, we can slowly, subtly begin to exchange the presence of God in our intimate union with Christ. We can substitute that with our religious box checking and spiritual activities. And a lot of those things, most of those things may be very, very good, but they are never to be a substitute for you having a living union with Christ where you are experiencing Him, you are hearing His voice, and you are doing what you're doing out as an overflow of that relationship, not as an activity that you can check off the box and get back to what you really want to do. God's plan was to teach them to follow Him and to hear His voice. Now, He would speak to Moses, and because of Moses' reluctance initially, He would speak to Moses, and Moses would often tell Aaron, and Aaron would tell the people. Finally got where Moses was talking to the people himself, but God was speaking to them, and God wanted them to learn, you move when I say move. You stop when I say stop. And you wait until I say go. And you don't, and you keep going until I say wait. That's what He was after, and that can only come out of relationship. That's what God originally had with Adam and Eve before the big bite was taken, right? Before sin entered the camp. He enjoyed fellowshipping with them, hanging out with them in the cool of the garden, having that walk with them. Now we're called to walk in the Spirit. As the cloud, they could follow the cloud. Now we're to follow the Holy Spirit. So this is important. Remember that God's presence is the plan. And for each of these lessons, I got a question I want you to entertain. And here is simply this. Is what I am doing for Him more important than being with Him? I'm not saying that both of those are not important. They are, but is your priority right? What's most important to you is having that close relation, heart-to-heart relationship with Jesus Christ. As Paul said, the great apostle that had revelations that were staggering. I believe he was the guy caught up into the third heaven, and he didn't brag about that, but he told the story. He knew a man. But here was what he prayed for, that I may know Him. The power of His resurrection and the fellowship of His suffering. See, we like the shady day where we can see clearly and the wind in our face, and the night is when we, metaphorically, is when the bad stuff can happen, right? But He wants to be able to guide us day and night through the good, the bad, the ugly, the trials, the tribulations, the triumphs, the victories, out of a relationship. Because you can be very religious, and you can be keeping your scorecard. Daily Bible reading. I gave my money. I witnessed to someone. I prayed today. Are those good things? Oh, yes. They're God things. But you can get in a ritual or routine of just doing this stuff without knowing the Lord. Of being busy and active, but no little of intimacy and union. And Jesus said that He came to show us the Father. Now, for us to believe Him, He did the fireworks. But what He was after was reconciling you and me to Father. That's what He was after, the relationship. The union. And God will often powerfully manifest to get people's attention. This is me. This is God. Only I can do this. Now come to me. The signs, which are important, and they still happen. Believe that with all my heart. I'm, as the old country preacher said, I'm firm. Right? But they point to Him. It's about Him. So, remember that God's presence is the plan. Here, when you come into the commons area, we have our values out there right now on the little posters, but the very first one of them is that we want people to encounter God's presence. That's so important. That He's real. You can experience God. It's more than an intellectual or cognitive approach. It's a heart-to-heart. His Spirit now in your spirit. Union, like a vine and a branch. Jesus said, I'm the vine, you are the branch. He that abides in me, and I in him, the same brings forth much fruit. The fruit that He's looking for comes as a result of the union you have with Him. And that's what I mean here. God's presence is the plan. We want you to encounter God's presence. God wants you to know Him intimately, personally, victoriously, and vibrantly. Remember that. God's presence is the plan. Now, the second lesson. Be sure to stay under your covering. We read in the book of Exodus that it was a cloud by day and a pillar of fire by night. And their responsibility was to follow the cloud. When the cloud stopped, they stopped. When the cloud moved, they moved. So staying under the covering of the cloud. In New Testament, it's about staying under the direction and leadership of the Holy Spirit. And notice they went out in orderly ranks. It may have been by tribes. But that tells me there was some administration, there was some organization, There were probably leaders over those groups. And here in the Tennessee Valley, what we call our region where we live, according to Acts 17, God predetermined the boundaries of our dwelling. You see, I believe God's the one who chose when you would be born, to whom you would be born, and where you would be born. He chooses where you'll live out your life, what you would do with your life. And the life that's most well lived is the life that learns to follow the cloud. In other words, follows his plan, follows his direction, follows his leadership. So the question we should ask ourselves is, am I willing to fully trust God's timing for my life? One of the best ways that I believe we can understand this sense of being directed is a simple red light. Pick an intersection here in town that's got a red light. When you approach it, if it's red, what do you do? What if you don't want to stop and you keep going? You might make it through a few times, but you know what's going to ultimately happen? You're going to end up with a mess on your hands. It's going to be a wreck. Maybe some pain, some damage, even worse. Well, if you come up and it's green, what's that mean? You can go, right? Let me add something right here just for the sake of younger people. I got a granddaughter, just got her permit, so Aubrey, you listen up. Even though it's green, I would encourage you to look left and right. Because there's some knucklehead that decides he don't want to stop just because it's red. But in the spirit, when God gives you a green light, you can proceed. Right? So in simple, and when it's yellow, what's that mean? Caution, slow down, a change is coming, a transition's ahead. And so in the spirit, it's similar. You know, there's times when you know God's giving you a green light, this is the Lord, and you can proceed. And the assurance is he's clearing things out for you, and you'll arrive where he wants you to go. But when you're getting a red light, then you have to stop. And most of we Western-minded people particularly, it's probably true of the whole human race, we don't like anybody telling us we can't do anything. So we have trouble with stopping. There's two issues involved in can you fully trust God's timing. Are you willing to stop something when he says stop it? Are you willing to start something when he says start it? Are you willing to wait till he tells you which one of those to do? Be sure to stay under your covering. Now, in that Exodus passage, did you notice the first verses we read? He led them out of Egypt, and he did not go through the land of the Philistines. And interestingly, it is recorded why God did that. He said, this is the shortcut. This is the quickest way to get you where I want to take you. But I'm not going to take you this way because you have to go through Philistine territory and there'll be war there. And when some of you hit the war zone, you're going to want to go back to Egypt. So God, in his wisdom, knew, I need some time to train you to keep in pace with my time. There are many times in the natural and we think, oh, this would be the easiest way for this to happen, A, B, and then C. But God chooses you to go through the whole alphabet. And you don't understand that. It's way too long. This is not the way I do it. Well, we can just be thankful you're not God. Because God's wise. And he tells us there's a whole nation involved here. And if I take you that way, a lot of you won't make it. Well, they ended up, a lot of them didn't make it anyway. But he got them right up to where they was ready to take the step to go in. And that's when fear kicked in. And even in the middle of all that, there's still people wanting to go back to Egypt. You see, they had, listen to me, this is applicable. Because we are the result of generations of people. You've got a generational line of ancestors behind you. Had their own struggles, their own triumphs, their own weaknesses, their own strengths. They made some good decisions. They made some terrible decisions. They knew pain and peril, and they knew joy and celebration at different times. And here you are now, with all that history behind you. Those Israelites for generations, what were they used to hearing? Who were they listening to? Every day they listened to those taskmasters and they felt their lashes on their backs. And they spent their days treading mud, making bricks for Pharaoh and his empire. That was their life. They were slaves. And they're leaving Egypt, and God loaded them down with resources for the journey and for a new beginning. But they were leaving Egypt with a long history of hearing the wrong voices. And God had to train that out of them. Their minds had to be renewed to hear His voice and to follow Him. So He's making it easy. Hey, guys, see that cloud? Stay under it. When it moves, you move. When it stops, you stop. Even if it's nighttime, you'll still see it. I'm going to light it up for you. You stop when it stops. You move when it moves. But all that history, God in His mercy and His patience was taking them the route that would give them the greatest opportunity to enjoy the promises that awaited them. He'll do that with you too. He's done it with me. You know, when He called me to preach, well, I'll just go to preaching. But for me, it was different. I didn't pretty much go to preaching. But He had a long journey of training for me through a number of years. That's still ongoing. So I'm going for you too. We're still learning. We're still growing. Hopefully still maturing, becoming more wise. We learn the Word of God, and then you begin to learn the ways of God. You learn what He says in His Word, then you begin to gain more understanding of why God may do certain things a certain way. That's the ways of God. Now, we don't always have the privilege or pleasure of understanding why God's doing something. But as you journey with Him, you do begin to pick up some of that. And He may be taking you the long route because He knows the perils of the shortcut. But we're expert at shortcuts, right? Not a one of us in here needs any training in how to take shortcuts. I mean, my middle name could be called the hypotenuse. You know, cut across because it's shorter across the hypotenuse for you trigonometry people. Okay, God sometimes will not take you the direct route because of the training needed for you to endure the war, endure the perils, and endure the storms. And sometimes we don't understand that. And that's where the humility, the teachable spirit is so important. And He's compassionate, like my little laundromat story. He's compassionate. He could have said, you know what, if that's the way you're going to behave, I'm not going to speak to you anymore. But He's compassionate. He knows we are but dust without Him. Jesus even told His disciples when He's teaching them about the union, I'm the vine, you're the branches. He said, he that abides in me and I in him, the saying, brings forth much fruit. But you know what He said next? Without me, you can do nothing. Nothing fruitful is going to be produced without the union intact. Receiving that grace from God that transforms us. And that's so important. So, lesson two, be sure to stay under your covering. And the two cautions here, number one is presumption. That's when we take off, but God hasn't. We moved, but God hasn't. And we're prone to that. Well, the last time this kind of thing happened, this is what God did. I'll just do that. Well, that's presumption. Yeah, but that's what He did last time. You're still presuming. We have to learn to inquire of the Lord. Every day is a new day. And the Lord's going to train you in His ways, which means He's not going to always do it the same way at the same time, and so forth. We've got to stay pliable and flexible and be led by the Spirit. If He moves, then we can move. Presumption means I move without inquiring and asking Him. And you know, things may look good and go good for a while when you're in presumption. Oh, this is better than I thought it'd work out. But then smash, right? owe. And you look at the Lord, Lord, where were you? You never ask. Presumption. The other is procrastination. And fear is usually behind, well, fear is involved in both of them, really. Fear of missing out, I'm going to jump ahead and do it anyway. A fear of it not working out, I'm going to stay back here even though God's moving. That's procrastination. It's like you decide you like waiting. You like being settled. You like being comfortable. This shade's nice. This fire is nice at night. But we have to be the clay and let Him be the potter. Hear this. They did not command the cloud. They weren't in charge of the cloud movements. And neither are we. No place where we're told not to be led by the Holy Spirit. That means that God is the initiator. God's the one that moves. God's the one who's in charge. Don't change your theology around where you're bossing God around. I don't care who says that. I do not find that in the Word. I do find when the Lord tells us to say something, we can say it and He'll back it up. You can have a word from the Lord and He said it, then He'll back it up. But He's not a cosmic slot machine that does our bidding. And that I believe that's even true of gifts. I think sometimes gifts may not function because we're fearful and reluctant and we're not letting them flow. But we can't just make them happen. The cloud moves at the initiative of God. And so we've got to be moved and led by the Holy Spirit. Be sure to stay under your covering. It could have a lot of applications here. You're covering the employer, employee. Your employer's the boss. You're not. A parent-child relationship. Parents, your children are children. They are not the parents. They can't be the parents. You're the parents. In a marriage, God is the head of Christ. Christ is the head of man. Man is the head of woman. That doesn't mean superiority. It means role and function. Jesus is co-equal with God, but yet He submitted Himself under the Father. He said, I came to do Thy will, O Lord. So this idea of staying under covering is important. Even in a church, you have spiritual leaders. Here in the city, ordered by ranks, churches are given different assignments from the Lord. We all have one Father. We love each other. We better love one another. We're going to spend eternity together. We want to bless each other. We don't want to compete. But yet, in our own vineyard, so to speak, our own tribe, so to speak, there's ranks, there's order. And that's for a purpose. That's how they were led out of Egypt. There had to be some order. And there's safety in that. This was a collective. This was group movements. It wasn't solo Christianity, Lone Ranger Christianity. It's corporate. It's family. It's tribe, if you will. It's the family of God, the household of faith. So this is important. Am I willing to fully trust God's timing for my life? God's waiting, and you're not wanting to. That's tough. And some of you may be in a place like that this morning. Like you're wanting to press the gas and the Lord's got His foot on the brake. Like my laundromat story. I didn't want to do it. I went ahead and did it, but then I did it with the wrong heart. He wants all of us. He wants our heart as well. It's better to do it, even if you don't get it right, than just simply not do it. But the Lord wants us to do it so that we represent Him. In other words, do it like He would do it. As if it's Him doing it. Because if it's done by grace, it is Him doing it. Third lesson, choose to stay by the fire in the darkness. Bad stuff happens in the darkness in the natural. You're a lot more likely to be eaten by a lion in the night season. I learned that when I went to Africa. I was standing in the back of a Range Rover and a large male lion walking right up beside me. I could have reached over and touched it. And it was kind of an eerie moment, but the guide said, they don't really eat much in the daytime. So I'm grateful when he came by, it wasn't snack time or something. But it does cause you to pause and think, what would it be like that, be out there in the middle of the night with no light, with the wild beast in the perils and in the spiritual landscape. You know, Jesus talked about in darkness, and men love darkness rather than light because their evil deeds won't be exposed. It's when a lot of the evil takes place, spiritually speaking. So what I mean by this, choose to stay by the fire in the darkness. If they stayed under that pillar of fire at night, they were fine. It got real cold in the wilderness and in the desert at night, so the Lord provided us some heat and provided us some light to illuminate. I mean, every camper, hiker, hunter, frontiersman, bushman, all that, they know, hey, you start your fire at night, help keep the wild animals away. And we need to realize that, hey, greater is He who lives in us than he who lives in the world. The light that came to light the life of every man lives in us, Jesus Christ. And we need to choose to stay by the fire in the darkness. And darkness, what we mean here in the spiritual landscape, is those seasons when you're in the storm, you're in the trials, and you don't know what's going on. You don't know, may not know what to do, and you feel alone, you feel abandoned, you feel forsaken. You stay by the fire. Because the good news is this, when you can't see what's coming, God already sees it. When you don't know what to do, God still does. When it seems like He's not there, He always is. When you don't know where you're going, He's already there without ever leaving you where you are, because He's omnipresent, and He knows all things, and He's all powerful. So choose to stay by the fire in the darkness. And again, this is tending the flame of your relationship with the Lord. Stir up the gifts that within you. Fan into flame the gift of God that's within you. Stay in the Word. Thy Word, O Lord, is a light unto my feet and a lamp unto my path. Thy Word have I hidden in my heart that I might not sin against God. The Word of God is powerful. It's alive. So we want to stay in the Word. We want to be in a posture of prayer. We want to tend the flame, attend the relationship with the Lord, His presence, kindle that, keep it new, keep it fresh. And there's warfare around that. The enemy doesn't mind us becoming religious robots in our religious, mundane, religious routines. What he fears is someone that's in union with the living Christ, who's hearing His voice, who's learning their true identity, learning how to swing the sword of the Word, learning how to discern in the realm of the Spirit, and learning how to hear His voice, interpret His dreams, see His visions, and so forth. That's a threat to darkness. Beloved, you are the light of the world. When you walk out that door today, you're to be shining lights in this dark culture. You are difference makers. You are children of the Most High God. El Shaddai, the Almighty One, is your heavenly Father. The host of heaven and your Father in heaven back up His Word as you take a stand on it and you swing your sword knowing you're doing what the Father told you to do, just like Jesus did. Why did He pray for this one and not that one? He only did what He saw the Father do. Why did He use, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God? Because that was the Spirit birth, rhema word needed for that specific temptation in front of Him to turn those stones into bread. He was operating in the Spirit. Don't reduce it to a cerebral response because He had memorized those scriptures. Should we memorize them? Oh, yes. But we need to learn to be sensitive to the Holy Spirit so He can retrieve and bring up the ammo you need for the battle that you're in. This is walking in the Spirit. This is being led by the Holy Spirit. You are a threat to darkness. Rather than fear the enemy, you are to be feared by the enemy. What kept many of the Israelites out of the promised land was the Egyptian mindset they had never been delivered from. And fear kept them closer to the bondage and out of the land of freedom. And historically and archaeologically, they have found some more of those clay tablets that tell the story of the Habaru, the Hebrew, that was invading the land of Canaan during the time of the Exodus. And one of these kings is sending a communique to another one of the larger kingdoms saying, come help us. You see, behind the walls of Jericho, the people in Canaan were trembling in fear at the approaching army of God. That's the truth. But yet, the first generation was deceived. They melted in a place of fear and turned away from the promise and wandered in the desert. The truth is, they were fearing people who were behind walls fearing them. So there was deception. So may God deliver us from this type of deception, from these Egyptian mindsets, from the taskmaster's lies, to know who we are in Christ, what's available to us, important, through our union, our living union with Christ. Don't reduce it. Again, don't reduce it to a cognitive thing, a learned behavior. We're talking about a life-giving union with the living, risen Christ. He knows what the next step is you need to take in your business. He knows what sword you need to swing to cut that generational issue off at the root. He knows what you need to be trained in, put through, and matured in before you can step into what he ultimately has for you. And he can be trusted. Trust him with his timing. And choose to stay by the fire. The question here, can I trust God with the unknown in the darkness? Yes, because nothing's unknown to him. And he is unapproachable light himself. There's no shadows around him. So you can make a full investment into God's faithfulness, and he will never let you down. Last lesson before we finish. Determine to follow the cloud instead of the crowd. I'm thinking big picture here, okay? There's an old hymn, where he leads, I will follow, no turning back, no, though none go with me, I still will follow. Remember that old hymn? Where he leads me, I will follow. Well, the question is, though none go with me, will I still follow? Now, thank God we move together. We're stronger together. But in our heart needs to be the courage to stand where God says that we're to stand, to do what God says we're to do. There's never been a generation of humanity that has been exposed to more voices than this current generation. We're wired for it. We carry it in our pockets. Millions and millions of voices that will speak to us with a simple prompt, with a simple query. We can get all kinds of information. This information age, it was prophesied by Daniel that there would come a time when knowledge would greatly increase. Now, we thought we were in it 20 years ago, but it just keeps upscaling. I mean, we're in the AI revolution right now. There's been nothing like it in all of human history. But here's where you got to be careful. Whatever you want to hear, you can find somebody that'll back you up. Whatever you want to do, however you want to live your life, whatever sin you want to be able to just jump in and enjoy it and feel good about it, you can find somebody that'll support that, that'll back you up, applaud you, and encourage you deeper still. That's the reason we've got to remember the faith that has been once delivered to the saints. We've got to know the Word of God. Now, listen. I thank God for how social media can be positively used. I think we would be wrong for everybody just to leave it alone and let the world have it. We need to be using a voice for the Lord I try to do that. I do a little devotional every morning on Facebook and TikTok, and ultimately it's put on YouTube. But I remember February, it would be 2 years ago this coming February, when the Lord spoke to me, I want you to start this. I really didn't want to do it, get up early every morning and go outside, but I felt like that's what he told me to do, the way to do it, make it easy, because he knew if it involved a lot of stuff, I probably wouldn't do it. But it's been a blessing to me personally. Hopefully it's helped a few other folks, but it has helped me. I mean, I always started my day in the Word, but it's helped me to be more consistent. And it's helped open windows of revelation for me because I'm wanting something fresh every morning. I thank God for that. And I appreciate it very much. But having said that, you have to be so careful. Parents, be careful. Treat your children. Make sure you have some parameters, some boundaries on that. There are so many horror stories of people, quote, catfishing children. In other words, somebody pretending to be somebody they're not, luring young people into terrible relationships and setups and snares and traps. You've got to be careful. Determine, today's a good time as we approach this new year, that I'm going to follow the cloud. I'm going to do my best to listen to the Holy Spirit. And how can you separate all that? We have all those voices. Well, try to turn the volume down on some of that. And be more intentional about developing your vertical relationship with the Lord. And you can't hardly escape it in our world today. It's everywhere. And you can't escape Him either. Wherever you are, He is. So why not have a conversation? I mean, we get excited. Man, AI, you can ask this question and boom, boom, boom. It's just, you know, wow. AI knows nothing compared to El Shaddai, to Elohim, to Yahweh, to Adonai. What's AI to Adonai? I mean, he knows everything. And he's easier for you to access than AI is. If you just choose to do it. And why wouldn't we just choose to do it? Ah, now that's a question to ponder. What keeps you from doing that? What keeps me from doing that? Think on that question this week. What is keeping me from pursuing this relationship with God? What's keeping me from going deeper? And then ask the Lord to get his snippers out. Determine to follow the cloud instead of the crowd. Our worship team is coming. I want to ask you to stand. After the laundromat story, I was invited to go to a tent meeting and minister, because I want to end on focusing on how compassionate and merciful God is, how he wants to invite you and include you in what he's doing. On the way to that camp meeting, I had a dear brother who was driving, and we turned on some worship music, and he had gone with me on several trips, and he knew that, hey, let's just have some quiet time where we're not talking, and we'll just get in a worshipful atmosphere. You keep your eye on the road, and we're going to get ready for the service. And on the way to this tent meeting, it happened in just, 20 or 30 seconds. This series of scenes, these images just popped in my mind. I'm worshiping. It's about Jesus. It's thanking the Lord. You know, and I a lot of times I would say, Lord, what do you want to do in this service? Lord, what's on your heart for today? And I was in one of those times just waiting before the Lord. Then the cloud started moving, so to speak, showing me some images. And it's just like seeing a video in my mind. It may work different for you. It may not work that way for you at all. That's all right. God speaks to you in different ways. But I saw there's a woman, blonde-headed woman in a red dress. I saw her. And as I saw her picture, I started having these pains. It was like marbles in this area. And I knew that I knew. I'm a man. I don't have ovaries, but I knew she had fibroid tumors in her ovaries. And then it shifted, and I saw a man on a tractor, a farmer, had a like a straw hat on his head. And his eye was all patched up. Something that happened to his eye, some kind of accident. I don't go through all of this, about four or five things like that. Just boom, boom, boom. And the Lord was training me during this time. I said, well, okay, Lord, I'll go for it. I believe this is you. Got to the tent meeting. We had our worship. I preached. And during the ministry time at the end, I said, the Lord showed me some things on the way here. There's a lady here in a red dress with blonde hair, and you've got fibroid tumors in your ovaries, and that's been dealing you a lot of pain. The Lord wants to touch you tonight. Would you come? And it was a pretty good crowd under this tent. Here came a lady down the aisle, red dress with blonde hair. And you know what started happening in the room? This. I said, the Lord showed me somebody that farms. You've had an accident, injured your eye. Tall, lanky guy got up back there, started walking down the front. When he got close, I saw his right eye was just bloodshot, just blood red. He shared a thing. I went through those four or five things like that. God started moving. His presence started manifesting. And then what started happening, people who came, it didn't have much faith. All of a sudden, faith arose in their heart. It was Jesus just loving on people, letting you know, hey, you haven't been by yourself. I've known what's going on with you, and I want to do something about it tonight. Hey, I know this burden you're bearing, you're carrying this. I want to touch you tonight. And he began to do that. Now, it may look different for different people. It may manifest different where you work. But I'm telling you that you are his sheep. You can hear his voice. Listen for him to speak. Pay attention to what he says, and just be willing, but try to have the right heart with it. It helps me to realize the Lord's just wanting to love on somebody. It's not about me. It's really not so much about them. It's all about him. But he's wanting to love on them. And he loves you this morning. If you've got a burden this morning, our prayer team members are coming forward. Week by week, I hear some stories of how while people are praying for people, how God begins to speak. God begins to bless. God begins to touch. God begins to heal. A few months back when the dear sister Pam Matthews was here ministering, she was right over here praying for a brother's hands. The lady standing on the row behind him, whose initials are Kim Pettis. Kim, where are you? Where's you? Where are you? How long has your hand been that way? Huh? Over 20 years, couldn't move your fingers. And that night, in a moment, boom. What, 20 years of waiting, 20 years, but that night the cloud moved. Some of you maybe have given up on God. You're tired of waiting. But I'm telling you, God can move the cloud. Don't give up. Develop the union. Stay close to the Lord. Good things happen. God things happen out of that relationship you have with God. And let's believe that something like that's going to happen for you today if you have need of it. We're going to have a song here in a moment. We begin to sing. You can come on right now. Just come where you are. These are waiting to hear from the Lord, to pray with you, to minister to you. Oh, Holy Spirit, have your way. Move across these aisles today, these seats today, Lord. Touch hearts in this room today. I pray, dear Father, that we would be a people who are sensitive to the clouds. Holy Spirit, have your way. Hold it before you sing. Let me ask you, is the Lord laying anything on some of your hearts? A word? Anyone? Debbie. Yeah, amen. You receive that. There's things you can't fix, but he can. Trust him to do that this year. Anyone else? Tommy? The Lord laid on Tommy's heart the gospel. That tells me there's somebody here that needs to be saved. you've never given your life to Christ, today's the day you can be born again by confessing Jesus Christ as Lord and believing in your heart God raised him from the dead. Why did he do that? To reconcile you to the Father. He wants to save you today. I encourage you, step out from where you are boldly. Don't be ashamed. This is the greatest decision you could ever make. The greatest. I guarantee you that cloud's moving. If you want to be saved, you and the cloud can get together just like that. Behold, today is the day of salvation. Just come on up and ask these. They will pray with you right now. Anyone else? Don? Amen. Thank you, Don. Okay, if you're tired and weary here this morning, maybe you're just tired of being tired, like I've tried everything and nothing's working, you just got a word to encourage you. The Lord Jesus says, come to him. He'll give you rest for your soul. He'll give you something you won't find in a self-help book. You won't find it in anywhere else on this continent or in this world. You can find it in his throne room, and he'll give it to you today. Rest for your soul. I encourage you to come. One more. I feel like there's one more. Amen. That's our verse about provision. That whole passage. Jesus, don't worry about what tomorrow's going to bring. Don't worry about what you're going to eat, what you're going to wear, and so forth. Trust me, I'll take care of it. So if you're in need in that way, take that word today. Stand on it. Make that a sword in your hand. Put your faith in the faithfulness of God. Amen. As we sing, if you need prayer, would you come? I'm going to dismiss you in just a moment, but we want to invite you to come and pray. Come on up as we sing. Join in. He's worthy.
You're worthy of it all.
Are there others? You come. God, all things are possible.